on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora, g'day, and hello. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show, and we'll be discussing all of the hottest topics from the world of rugby league. Again, my boys are in the house. The Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, is here.
Yo, yo.
He's alongside the little general, Luke Robinson.
Nice to be here, Rob.
Nice to have you here, Robbo. Now, later on in tonight's show, we'll be announcing who was lucky enough to win Rhinos legend Kevin Sinfield's signed autobiography. And still to be in to win, if you still want to get the opportunity to win this, please go to pulse1.co.uk and click on the win button on the home page. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have an opportunity. Still got the opportunity to win that signed copy of Leeds Rhinos legend Kevin Sinfield. Leon, we were talking about, Robbo, we were talking about autobiographies last week, and we were talking about, you know, what would you do? Would you write one? And you know what? Leon was really enthusiastic about it, don't you reckon, Robbo?
A little bit strange. A little bit like David Blaine. He was just sort of subliminally putting things in his mind.
He was sliding it in there.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden we started talking
about it. And lo and behold, last night what pops up on my Facebook page said, just started writing my autobiography. All of a sudden, I just started writing my autobiography.
Right. I'm a big timer.
Out at Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Out at Christmas.
Hopefully.
So come on, Leon. What's the tone of your autobiography?
What's the tone?
We touched on it last week. There's got to be a type of tone. You got the Sean Longs of the world where he's just warts and all, just absolutely rips himself to shreds.
Okay.
Or you've got the other ones similar to, like myself, it had like meaningful messages left in there for children.
I'll tell you, my tone is I'm going to tell as many funny stories as possible. In my career, sometimes a lot of people think that winning the trophies, winning man of matches and blah, blah, blah is the highlight of it, which it is.
It's the money, isn't it?
But that beats it all. All the money. Money first. But alongside the money,
for me,
the stories. I mean, over the years, the stories that you can come along with, I mean, there's one story at Saints, and I'm going to save it for the book, but there's one story at Saints where we went training and cut a long story short, spit out Leon. Somebody came with a gun and it was a bit of a setup, but I'll leave that story for my book.
Well, you can't just do that.
No, because it'll make people want to buy it. No, but that story is.
Yeah, but you're just saying that the book is good. You need to hook them in. So you tell the story and then you just tell them that there's going to be 100 stories like that.
Okay,
in the book.
Well, basically, what happened is we were training and the training session had finished and we sat down to stretch down.
Yeah.
So now as we're stretching down, a guy comes out of the bushes and he comes over and he goes, which one of you is Lee Gilmore? Which one of you is Lee Gilmore? And he's got a bat. It's a baseball bat. So we all stand up and think, whoa, 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 calm down, calm down. He drops his bat, goes to his pocket, boom, pulls out a gun. Now, by this time, I'm thinking, that is a gun. He's not messing about. Run! So I started running. And I'm telling you now, I run faster than Usain Bolt. That is faster than I've ever run in my career. And I'm not joking. I was so scared. I was thinking in my brain.
Were you doing that wave?
I was going straight at my arms, right up. Full
power. That's an easy target.
I was thinking in my brain, I was thinking, please, he knows that Lee Gilmore is not black. He knows Lee Gilmore is white and I'm black. So surely he won't shoot at me. And I was dodging all over the place, and anyway, when we turned around, it was a joke. It was a big setup, and it
was
just.
Was Gilly in on it?
Oh no, Gilly were out. Gilly were out. Gilly were on
road. Where Lee Gilmore gone? He was going with the bat, wasn't he? He was going at the bat stage.
But when I tell it properly, I'll tell it in more detail.
That is gold. So come on, what will be the title of your book?
I told you, Robbie, I don't know yet. I've only just done.
It's a work in progress.
I've only done 20-30 minutes of it so far. I'm just trying to. My memory is the worst memory of all time, so I'm trying to remember everything that's happened stage by stage. So once we get a few more stories out.
So Robert, what about you? You're giving your autobiography any thought? You know, you've been there, you've done that, you've travelled the country, you've travelled the world. And there must be a story, an anecdote or two in your repertoire.
I've got that many stories. I just don't know. I'm with Leon. I don't know how many you can tell. And there was a time we went over to Cyprus. We're just there, training camp. You know, you do early doors in the thing. And then there's a little bit of a battle going on. Brian Carney, Chris Rodlinski next door, old-timers. Me and Kev Brown, young lads next door, playing tricks on us. basically, every time we come back, they'd done something. I don't know what he did. Must have been a plumber in a previous life, Brian. We couldn't flush his toilet. So basically, it was like a couple of days filling up. We'd get guy to come out, little Spaniard, and come out, whatever. He'd try and fix it. Then thought after a while, we thought, right, we're getting him back. So we kind of snuck in, not to be crude. Kev,
Kev did a number two
and put it behind the extractor fan. So every time they were blowing cold air out for about 4 days, they didn't know this smell. And I put Tabasco.
Are we allowed to share stories like this?
And I put Tabasco sauce in Brian Carney's cycling shorts. She was injured at the time. We thought we'd made a choice. I forgot about the Tabasco sauce. We're in like 80 degrees. We're training middle of training field. And he's running around this track around the outside. All of a sudden, he drops to his knees and starts screaming, strips naked and pulls his cyclist shorts off. He had 3-degree burns up all of his inside of his crotch. And I'll be honest, yeah, he didn't go down well. I'm just going to say, Kev Brown did manage. He got Kev Brown deadlocked and nearly popped his head. thinking it were him.
Robbie, I remember that story that you told me once. I really... intrigued by it, the Yorkshire versus Lancashire fight on the bus back in the day. Were you on the bus for that one?
I was on the bus for it.
Were it crazy?
It was crazy. Those times were crazy, but
I love that story.
That didn't make my autobiography.
Did it? I love that story.
we'll keep that one. You can use that one in your autobiography.
I'll use that one. I like it.
I'll tell you all about it a little bit later on. Robbo, what about a title for your autobiography? What do you think would be an apt title?
I'm not sure. You've just put me on the spot, Rob. Give me 5 minutes. Go on, Leon. You can go with your book title.
I've got no
first.
Idea. Well, I've told you I'm a work in progress. I've got no idea.
I saw on Facebook the price of rugby league. Yeah.
The price would always be right.
The price is right.
The price. It's done. We're done. Out in December, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Ready for the Christmas markets.
$29.99.
$29.99. Wow. There's got to be some mad stories. There's got to be like a picture book.
Oh, I've got one. It's not the size of the giant in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the giant.
That's too long.
Great though, isn't it?
That's too. No. You could do, you know, because you like to go off on one every now and again on the show. You could do this like Robbo's rants and just do a whole autobiography as an angry little man.
And just give it to everybody that you can think of.
Yeah. I'm quite fun normally, lads. It's just it's you lot in this little studio brings the rant out of me.
There's something just bites into you. Leon, how's your recovery going? You're nearly back to full fitness. You had your knee clear out. We know that we've retired Robbo, but how's your recovery going?
Well, I don't think I've ever been fully fit because that's not the kind of guy I am.
Yeah, you were right back in, I think it was 1998, 99, 17-year-old.
But we're not far. I'll probably a week off. I've been training really hard, so you know what I'm like, dedicated to the sport and stuff.
Training really hard.
Dedicated to life itself.
Leon's level, the price is right, level of training hard.
It's been good. I've been training on Alter G over in Hull.
So explain what an Alter G is.
Alter G is the same as a treadmill, but the bottom half, from your stomach down, it's airtight, so you can set it to a gravity of what you want, your body weight, so you can either have your full body weight, or the more air you put in, it makes you lighter, so the impact on the ground when you're running on a treadmill is that it's less impact, so it makes you lighter, basically.
So a little bit like back in the old days when we were recovering from knee injuries, they had to put us in a swimming pool.
like that, but on a treadmill. So basically, the hardest thing that you can do in rugby league is replicate running. Running is the best thing to get you fit, but at the same time, it puts the most stress on your joints. So when you've got a knee injury, to come back and be decently fit, it's very, very hard. You've got to do either rowing or biking or things that stay off your legs. Well, this is the next best thing. So you can put it up to like 75% and then you can run, and the impact on minutes, nothing, but you still get a good sweat on and it's still good cardio session.
You're feeling fresh?
I'm feeling mentally fresh, yeah. Yeah, I feel good.
And you, because obviously you sidestepped that Easter period.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel good. I want to play now. I'm ready to play.
Well, I think we're going to be discussing a little bit about the Easter period and player welfare a little bit later on. Up next, we'll be discussing Leeds Rhinos form. We'll also be discussing Warrington head coaches Tony Smith's position on the rumours about moving to Hull KR. And we'll also question the safety of Widnes's Vikings iPads. So stay with us here on the RHP Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, West Yorkshire, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and we're covering all things rugby league from around the world. Now it's your final chance to win Leeds Rhinos legends Kevin Sinfield's autobiography. It's a signed copy. Please just go to pulse1.co.uk and click the win button. Go to that page and you'll find out how you can get you a chance to pick up a copy of that. Now, talking about Leeds Rhinos, boys, Brian McDermott must be under a ton of pressure at this point in time. Last year, taking out not just the Super League, but the Challenge Cup, picking up the hubcap as well, the Super League trophy, to now be sitting at second from the bottom. That must put you under one heck of amount of pressure as a head coach.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, it's, you know, there are always going to be big boots to fill when they're losing, you know, Kyle Ulawai, Sinfield, JP. Look, they're icons of the modern day game. So, you know, to lose them, they're always going to be a big void. But obviously, that couple that with the injuries that they sort of sustained earlier on. And I know he spoke about, a lot of people made a bit of a point of the training facilities at Kirkstall that they use. You know, Gary Schofield's come out and said it's a load of rubbish, but, you know, let's be fair.
Come on,
let's be fair. When you don't have somewhere to train and you're travelling around going to different venues here, there and everywhere, it does have an impact on you.
To Scully's defence, though, you know, obviously Scully played back in the day where it was only part-time.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of Scully's big problems, that he still measures, you know, the games like they're on par with one another, and they're not.
No, they're not. And players are, you can only judge an athlete in the time and era that he's in. You can only judge them by the facilities that they have and the conditions and the rules they play in. And that's how you've got to judge you. And look, you know, I've obviously been I'm retired now, but obviously I've been a player. It makes a difference, the facilities you have and where you're doing and what you're training, but also losing them players. But I don't think there's a lot of pressure on him. I mean, I think it's bought him a bit of time. You know, you don't win everything one year and then pretty much can get sacked the next. I think it's bought him time. Obviously, having that success gives you a little bit of time on your hands, but it's still, you know, it's a results driven business, is rugby league, and if you start getting the results, there's going to be pressure.
That is, you're right, Leon. You know Brian Mack quite well. You played with him for a number of years.
Very
former
well.
Marine. If anyone can handle the pressure, he can.
Yeah, because he's a crazy person. Isn't he? He's absolutely crackers. He's Macca. We all know he's crackers.
We love him as well.
I love him. I love him, but he's still crackers. And I'm sure that at this moment in time, losing this many games, he'll be even more crackers water.
Yeah,
as we know him. But yeah, I agree with Robbo 100%. I think the one thing is, I think this year we'll have time. I think 100% he'll have the full season without getting sacked, no matter how, if they keep on losing. They're not going to go down. They may be in the bottom half of the table and have to go in the middle eights, but they're not going to go down. They've got too many class players, too many world-class players in the team. Winning and losing are very similar. Once you success breeds success, winning and confidence breeds confidence. Losing breeds inconfidence, and losing breeds losing, if you get what I mean. Once you start losing a few games, you've got that doubt in your brain. It gets to that dodgy time at game when you're under the pump. The first thing that comes in your head is losing, and oh God, last week we lost in this situation. But before you know it, you lose again. The next week, same happens again. A little bit similar to what's happening to Huddersfield at the moment. But it doesn't mean they become a bad team. They've got international, world-class players in that team. I think he'll be given this season at least to get it sorted out, and then they're going to have to recruit well.
Who do we think has been the most expensive loss? JP, Kevin, or Kylie? Obviously, Kylie was coming to the back end of his career. JP's been a very influential leader by example on the field, sort of highlighted. But Kevin was the mouth of the team. He was the guy that directed the team, the squad around the park. Who's been the most expensive loss?
I don't think it was Kylie, because I think although an exceptional player and a leader within the group, I think, you know, he were only playing sporadically them last few games. But I think you need to be in the camp to actually sometimes appreciate. I think from an outside perspective, you don't always have, you don't know enough about the team and their role within it to actually make a judgment. Because it's not only about what goes on the field. Although Kevin might have been the one that were directing play and kicking the ball in the corner, and although JP were leading the line with his, you know, line speed or his carries, it's a lot of times it's what goes on off the field. It's what goes on in the breaking plays. It's things that really, unless you're within that group, you don't know. And so I'll be honest, I think they'd both be a loss. Playing as I've played with both of them, I think they're both really good players. I think they're both good leaders, so you're probably going to miss both. So I think combining them together, obviously, even more, but I don't know which one's had the most influence.
I'd say Sinfield, mate, massively. I think we underestimate, and from what I watch most games rugby league, but I think you underestimate the skill of kicking. It's kicking in field. I think, I'll give you an example, was it the semi-final, if it was a playoff.
Against St. Helens.
The kick where he kicked it for 40-20.
Yeah.
Completely changed the season. Completely changed the dynamics of the full season. That kick got a 40-20, they got a scrum back, I think they scored next day or whatever. It just changed the full game and the momentum when they were under the pump. And it's little things like that that a lot of people miss that I think or take for granted that, that come up now.
Mm-hmm.
I think, me personally, in my opinion, Sinfield's the man that they're missing.
Okay, okay, there you hear it. Brian Mack has confirmed that he will continue to coach the USA in the 2017 World Cup, so he'll definitely got his hands full. And talking about head coaches, on to Tony Smith. He smashed the rumours that he'll be going to Hull KR. Apparently he's sitting down with Wolves boss Simon Moran to discuss his future in the near future. And look, let's be honest, Warrington are sitting on top of the table at the moment. They're playing the best rugby I think they've ever played in the Super League. Leon, at this time last year, you had picked Warrington as the team to beat. Are you going to say it again? Are you going to put the hoodoo on them again?
Well, what did they do last week to Wigan? What score were it?
Oh, not just score, but performance.
Yeah. No, wow. I agree with you. The way they're playing this year is the best they've ever looked, ever. I think it's best of Tony Smith's teams, even at pains me to say, is that they've ever looked. But, I think Sandow's been amazing, hasn't he?
Yes.
But they've lost him now.
Yeah, he's out for an extensive amount of time as well. Hamstrings are terrible injuries.
Yes.
He could come back a little ball, couldn't he? Let's be fair.
He didn't come to England last year in the greatest of conditions, did he? He looks fit. He looks stronger in 2016.
Robert, he's been Man of Steel so far for me. He has been ridiculous. How many tries has he got? About 20, 30 in 9 games.
He's greedy, eh?
Every try nearly that goes, the scores go through.
Pass the ball, man. Your halfback, pass the ball.
He's playing brilliant. Absolutely awesome.
I also think Gidley has a lot. He has a lot to say in that team. I think he's one of them sort of, I think he goes around, I think he directs them. I think he allows space and time for, you know, for Sandow to play his game. But I also, I think, what you know, look, talk, just going back to Leeds, for example, Warrington are probably, they could probably take a leaf out of Warrington's book. You know, they lost a turnover of players, Morley, Hodgson, Lee Breers and all them. And they seem to go through a transitional period of a few years where they're actually trying to replace them players.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's correct.
And it kind of feels like they've come out of that, the other side of that now. And they've started producing young lads like Curry, who are brilliant, but also brought in really good Antipodeans that are helping that. And yeah, I probably Leeds need to take a leaf out of their book.
Leon?
But at the same time, Robert and Robbo, the replacements that they've brought in now are not cheap replacements.
No.
They've brought in Gidley, he's going to be on big money. They've brought in Sandow, he's going to be on big money. They've brought Tommy Lynham, big money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cheap.
No.
Cheap buys. So the quality, do you get what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you can't go and get just any other player. They've gone, they're recruited very, very well.
And you'd say that they're recruited in the right areas, in the spine of their team.
And now they're sat at the top of the table. So there's no coincidence that the players that they've got have been successful, but, you know, they're not going to be cheap. Sandow's their, what's it called?
Marquee.
Is their marquee player, so he's on massive money. Gidley's not come over for cheap, so he's on big money. But then players are performing and the team's performing, so they've done their recruitment right. So
back to the original conversation. Tony Smith's going nowhere, is he?
No, what a great time.
No chance.
You know what it's like? As a player, you want to go in there when you're sat at the top of the league, you're pretty, you're playing good rugby, you've scored, I don't know, 10 tries in 3 games. He's going in there with a massive grin on his face.
He's going in there saying, my wages now. Or I'm going.
Okay, I want me.
The rumour is.
Okay, let's move on to Kieran Cunningham having questions about the safety of Widnes's eye pitch. So that's the Widnes Vikings home ground. They play on an artificial pitch, is the fourth generation pitch, or 4G pitch as they call it, the eye pitch. It comes on the back of Tommy Makinson's season-ending rupture to his anterior cruciate ligament. Now, he made a sidestep, knee buckled and gave way, blew out his knee. Kieran Cunningham is suggesting that the eye pitch has contributed to that injury and may not have happened if it had been on grass. What's your thoughts on that? You guys have both played on that eye pitch. I've trained and I've never actually played a game on it though. But what are your thoughts on that eye pitch?
My first ever experience with the eye pitch, a little bit before everyone else, I went to Russia to play at the Olympic Stadium for England. And they told us about it. It's going to be a bit hard of that. I don't know if anyone knows Gaz Rader, who's playing on the wing at all. He's nuts.
And Bradford, yeah.
And he came out and he had like skateboarding elbow pads, knee pads, double shoulder pads. Carl Harrison went nuts and said, you've got to take them all off. He was nearly late for kickoff because he was taking all his gear off. Oh, and skins. He had skins on as well.
Oh, no.
But,
just imagine someone turning up to a game looking like that.
Nearly put me off my game. But look, I'd like to see the stats on it, really. Obviously, when it first came out, there was a big hoo-ha from a lot of players making a, you know, a big song and dance about it, and they seem to have subsided them concerns over the last few years, and we seem to have got on with it.
Put aside the stats, you've both played on Leon Robbo. Leon, first, tell me, what's it like to play on a full 80 minutes?
I've got to be careful what I say on here, Robbo.
No, you say, say what you feel.
I can say what I feel. I hate the pitch.
Do you?
Of course you do.
I like training on it. Yeah, I got to admit, I did like training on it.
It's no good training there, though, because then you change surfaces, so your body gets used to running on grass. Then you go and train on thingy. That's how I tore my adductor. Snapped it off the bone.
That's why I think we had a lot of injuries
12
this year.
Twelve weeks out, that cost my Saint-Lon's career, that.
Nah, on the eye pitch?
On the training, we're going from grass to eye pitch, from grass to eye pitch, from grass
so
to eye pitch.
So what if you flipped it and you did all training, all playing on an eye pitch? Because from a club's point of view, it is absolutely brilliant. The upkeep of it, absolutely wonderful. You can pound it and pound it. You know, like most fields, it's a hello turf. You can't get on it. Well, with an eye pitch, you can rent it out to community teams, clubs, etc. And you can hammer it.
I'm just saying, we play rugby on a grass field. So we train on a grass field. Get a groundsman, keep up to the grass, just get on with it. In the winter months,
more expensive.
It is, but you're talking as a businessman. I'm talking as a rugby league player. We play on grass. We train on grass. Look after your fields and let's just stay on there. Yeah.
Oh, are you saying basically one day it's going to turn into NFL?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you're saying? It's going to one day every side's going to.
Robbo, remember, he's a businessman now.
Is that what you're saying?
Is that the question you're asking?
But if it works for the NFL, why can't it work for rugby league?
We're not same as NFL, though, are we?
No, we are a contact sport, but the surface that you're running on shouldn't make any difference.
Where has a non-stop contact? There's like every couple of seconds, isn't it?
And let's be honest, you keep talking about the money. What? The money would be very good if it was the NFL, wouldn't it?
What do you mean?
All right, moving quickly along. Up next, Stevie Mack breaks his silence on his England sacking as head coach. And we discuss Ben Thaler's reinstatement to the Super League after being demoted to the Kingston Press Championship. And we have a new feature where Robbo will unload for a full minute on a topic of his choice. All this up next after the break right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, it's RHP here, and I'm live with the Earl of Rugby League and Little General Luke Robinson. For those of you that don't know what kia ora means, it's a New Zealand Māori word for the word hello. So, g'day mate, that's an Aussie one. Anyway, okay, we're up to a brand new feature. We've got a brand new feature. I've been looking forward to this, and it is time for it.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show, Robbo's Rant.
Okay, so I'm going to explain exactly what it is. Tonight, we're giving Luke Robinson, the Robinator, the opportunity to unload on an issue of his choice. We know Robbo loves his little rant. You just prick him and he just goes off on one, and he gets to choose whatever he wants to do from the entire world of rugby league, and he has an entire minute to unload everything that he feels about this subject, and we are not allowed to interrupt him, not one little bit. And we've got a starter whistle that we're going to get you underway. It's going to count the minute down. So Robbo, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you looking forward to it?
I'm ready. I'm looking
clear
forward
throat,
to it
mate.
Yep.
A full minute uninterrupted. A minute can seem like a long time as well.
Don't worry, I can talk.
All right. Okay, producer Ewan, let's get it underway.
Right. Right, my rant is, we have no players union. We're in a million pound business where we don't have a union. In what other walk of life or what other business would it be turning over millions of pounds would you not have a union? My wife's a teacher. The strongest union you can have. She has a say on pay, on work, on working hours, on holidays, on the way the systems run. We as players have no say on whatsoever, whether it be regarding rules, whether it's regarding welfare. People think I'm just talking about money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the game in general. The bigger say players have, the more beneficial it'll be. But I'm also having a go, not only at rugby league, because John Wilkin tried it. The rugby league did not let him back. Did not let them come in. They wouldn't let them get involved as much as we'd like. But also, I blame the players. People on the big cash, top dogs, didn't really want to get involved, didn't think it affected them. Middle lads did. Young lads didn't want to ruffle any feathers.
Yes.
What about that? Yeah. Round of applause.
Yes.
Round
like
of
that.
Applause
like
on
that.
An extremely
like
pertinent point and issue in the game of rugby league. Rugby league has never had, well, rugby league in the British game, the Super League, the championship, we've never ever had a strong players representative.
Crazy.
A strong players representative body. I mean, there is the GMB that have quite a bit of financial muscle behind them when it comes to legal issues, and that's when they do support. So, you know, you put your thumbs up to them for that. But no one that actually speaks it and has been recognised, I think you mentioned, by the RFL.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one, Leon. Leon, throw your 5 cents into this. What are your thoughts on it?
I don't know, but I like that rant. It's a really good idea.
Here's something. In the NRL, the players union down in the NRL, they were given, as part of the new television deal, they were given $2.7 million Australian dollars. Now, players union down there have said 1.2 million of that will be invested directly in post careers for the athletes, and the other, I guess, what is it, 1.5 million will be invested into the players union for doing things like having a voice in the game, supporting players in their post career lives, supporting the junior game coming up. How do you guys go about doing it?
It's not just about the money. It's everything else. That it encompasses everything else, what you just spoke about, player welfare, what they do away from them. But I also think the more say that players have, the better the game will be as a whole. The RFL didn't seem to want to play a ball, if I'm being honest. I don't get myself in any more bother, but I don't know if that were their fault, or the actual union's fault, cause I think they might have gone, as opposed to knocking on the door, I think they went with the sledgehammer and just try knocking the wall down. I think really...
Well, I think you may have mentioned part of the problem why the RFL and the governing body didn't recognise it was because it didn't get the full backing of those bigger players that you were saying. It needs to have 100% concerted effort of everybody getting on board. How does that happen? Leon, how does that happen? How do you... I mean, did you become a part of League 13?
I was in France when it was happening, so it was hard for me to be able to help Wilco and what have you out, but... I do 100% agree with Robbo. The players who were on the big cash and the big players had the big a lot of weight behind them. They didn't really help, I don't think, and I think Wilco struggled to get everybody on side. And I think for the sake of £100 a year, to have a voice and have a seat on the RFL table at these really important
meetings. It seems
so
simple, doesn't it?
It does, but you've got to remember, Robbo, the less voice that we have, the more that they can keep running things that they want to run it. Mm-hmm. The rugby league, the RFL. So,
I mean, to the governing body's defence, what they do try to do is to get a group of influential players and get them in a room and ask them, okay, what do you think about this X, Y, and Z? They also feel that the responsibility is on the clubs themselves to feed that information through and what's in the best interest. But just looking at the Easter period, for example, players can actually play up to 37 matches in a season if you take into account pre-season friendlies and Challenge Cup runs. Actually, that's not including the internationals.
For example, we've changed our league structure. Nobody asked the players if that's what they wanted to do.
No, they did. They did ask, but they didn't.
It's a rhetorical question here. It's just literally, this is what we're going to be doing. What do you think? Well, thumbs up, thumbs down. We're doing it anyway. We added more games. It'd be like someone's coming to my wife and going, do you know what? We're going to add an extra 2 hours, 3 hours a week. Do you want to do it? Well, no, not really. Well, you're doing it anyway. And I'm actually having a go at the RFL. My rant was based at the players as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you spoke about before, is we didn't really fully get behind it. You know, in the RFL, it's such... We use the RFL as an example, but they found out they get so much more money. So the NRL players said, right, we're not going to Dally M Awards unless we get a percentage of that, what we're owed. We're not going.
There's no awards. It's like Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Without the players, there's no awards.
Yeah, so they all got together and said, you know, Jonathan Thurston said, I'm not going. And so obviously it made them back down. But not only that, they had that rule that came in, there's only so many, there has to be so many days between games.
Mm-hmm.
But Robbo, are we big enough to better say, we're not going to Man of Steel deal, dinner? Who's cared if we don't? Who cares if we don't go?
I think
the
unity
point,
in numbers.
But I'm just saying,
if you made a concerted effort not to do it,
but
there would be no awards.
In rugby league in England, the superstars, whoever, do we have Sam Tompkins?
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
But if we, as a collective...
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, the reason they can say that is, and they're not going to Dalian, is because the superstars over there...
Are backing the union.
So you're saying that our big boys, like Sam Tompkins...
I don't think our big boys did it enough.
Okay. You know what? I think this is going to be an ongoing discussion that, you know, someone needs to have a look into this, because obviously Wilco, and that's John Wilkins we're talking about, took the step forward a couple of years ago, put League 13 in place. It just couldn't finance itself. And I think that's part of the issue. One of the things, actually, I also wanted to have a look at as part of player welfare. Last week we discussed head injuries, and they've developed a new concussion band. It sends a signal to a referee by measuring the impact and pressure to the knock of a head.
I shared this on Twitter not long ago. It's in Australia.
That might have been where I've seen it.
Israel Folau that were trying it out, you know, the mm-hmm. dual cord player and eating it, yeah. And
isn't that a cool thing?
I think amazing if you could try and implement it without the head, you know, without it being a... I understand it has to be on the head for concussion, but it needs to be somehow smaller. And I mean, the idea behind it's great. I mean, I'll be honest, I'd have probably, you know, I won't far off, I'm pretty jealous really that Leon's played 400 odd games. I won season off getting in that club, and I really wanted to get into it. So I'm a little bit jealous. The green eyed monsters here.
Rob, there's only five players in that club.
Yeah, I know. And I really wanted to get in. But I probably wouldn't have played any games. If that had been on my head, I would not have played any games.
I just want to look forward to, actually, I want to change the whole subject altogether before we run out of time on this segment. Steve McNamara has broken his silence on losing his England job to Broncos super coach Wayne Bennett in the Sydney Morning Herald last week. He says he holds no ill will. He's bitterly disappointed he can't finish the job after investing so much of his time into the team and, importantly, the program as a whole to get it to the stage where it was, which was a 2-1 series win over New Zealand. Sorry, number one New Zealand. I'll just reinforce that. He said it was an incredible journey and a team, and the team is comfortable and ready to keep on winning. You would be, though, wouldn't you? If you're a head coach and you've been working on a program, developing a program for so long, how disappointed would you be to get the sack after actually getting it to that point where you think, actually, they can kick on from here?
Yeah, but how long has that? 5-6 years?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it is quite a long time. It's not, you can't say that he hasn't had a fair crack of the whip, and to be fair.
But he got him to the series win against the world numbers.
You know, but if you're bringing Joe Bloggs, but you're bringing in Wayne Bennett, it's a bit, it's kind of hard to argue.
I don't mean to be a bit of a neghead, but they beat New Zealand with half of New Zealand's team out on all their best players out.
I wouldn't say half.
Oh, the best players.
They had a couple of their best stars. You had Whitey Hargreaves and you had Sean Johnson. Two of your key.
Were four in there as well?
Four, the guy that leads around the park.
Just your 6-7, your best 6-7 and your best prop. That's all.
Don't get angry. I mean, you do have a point, but they still had all the rest of the firepower. And that firepower is the best firepower in the NRL competition.
He's been given 5 years, man. And I'm Rob. I like Steve Max. Steve Max is one of my good friends, but he's been given a long time. Structure in his system. Yeah, did it work? Well, who knows? But let's move on. We've got Wayne Bennett, best coach of all time. Let's go.
All right. Okay. Coming up after the break, we're going to continue to discuss the matters at hand. Ben Thaler reinstated as officiating arguably the top Super League game of the round. We'll also be announcing who will be picking up that Kevin Sinfield signed autobiography. And we'll also be discussing the hottest matches of the weekend. All that and more coming up after the break on the RHB show.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the RHP show. We're continuing on. We're looking at the hottest topics in the sport, as well as looking forward to the hottest matches of round. One fantastic thing, Leon's showing us live on Facebook Live.
Yep.
And we've got legend Martin O'Fire watching the show. Yeah, I tell you we feel blessed. Chariots. He just said to me that he wanted to be the first person to score a hat-trick at Wembley. And I said, I'll swap that hat-trick for a winner's medal because he got to pick up that beautiful, beautiful Challenge Cup trophy at the fantastic old stadium of Wembley. The old stadium. I like that one better. All right. Okay. So before we look at the hottest topics in the sport, we're going to announce the winner of the signed copy of the Leeds Rhinos legend Kevin Sinfield's autobiography. And I'm going to go across to Jakey, who's been covering the social media as well as the emails. And our winner is...
Inga Anderson. That's the winner.
To be honest, we haven't got an answer to a question, do we? Inga Anderson, congratulations on picking up that signed autobiography. We'll be in touch and we'll make sure that we get a hold of you. Producer Ewan just trying to scroll something to me. There was well in excess of 300 people contending for that wonderful prize also. Okay, so before we go on to the hottest matches of the round, guys, I just wanted to cover, Ben Thaler was dropped to the championship last week. Be careful. You got to be careful. You're a player. You're contracted. We
can
love you, Ben.
Can I say anything I want now?
I'm allowed to joke.
Actually, Robbo, you can say what you want about him. But be careful anyway, because we can't play without them. I love the referees. Ben Thaler was reinstated to officiating arguably the top Super League game of the round this week, and that's St. Helens versus Warrington on Friday night after being dropped for his performance during Catalan's Dragons in the Castleford match a week and a half ago. Apparently, he broke protocol and he disagreed with the video ref, Thierry Henry, live on air. Now, that's breaking protocol, apparently. But first, good show of strength from the RFL to actually drop a top-line referee down into the championship to say, actually, everyone's responsible for their performances.
You hear that a lot, you know, in forums, you know, you see it a lot saying, and coaches and players, that basically they get dropped, they lose money when, you know, when they have a bad game, so should refs. So maybe Sean, you know, obviously it was probably against, you know, Thierry Henry over there in France. They were disagreeing with him, which probably, I think more than anything else, is it were live on camera.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to behind closed doors after the game, it were live on camera. And they're supposed to be a bit of a, you know,
unity
really, yeah, sticking together type of thing. So that can't be seen from the RFL. I think really some referees, if they get an opportunity, they should go down and do some of the championship games, because some of them games are important anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, you want the top referees officiating some of them games.
It's interesting you say it, because that was one of the reasons why the RFL said it is a good thing, because championship clubs will be going into playing against Super League clubs. Super League refs will be refereeing those games in the championship. Gives them an opportunity to expose themselves to the talent in the championship, start to learn the player's name, to create that rapport. It's a good idea, isn't it, Leon?
I think the top line referees should be in the championship anyway. It's them games that need officiating properly anyway, because the weaker referees get overruled and overrun by the crowd and the players. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of times them kind of games turn into a bit of a farce sometimes. Mm-hmm. So your strongest referees need to be down there at the championship anyway. So, it's a good idea. If you're not, if you've not performed well or you're undermining pull, get down into the championship, earn your stripes again. If you're doing good, then you can come back up. Keep him down there. Earn your stripes. Taylor, get out big games. Get down there.
On that note, should he then come straight back into what is arguably the top game of the round, a televised game?
Well, to be fair, the RFL, obviously, they deem him the best ref. They deem him, he's the sort of golden boy at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, it is, to be fair, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
True.
So they've obviously just sort of like give him a little bit of a little rap on the knuckles and said, look, be careful what you're doing.
Okay.
Come back up.
Well, you two are both long in the tooth. You both had massive careers. You've been refereed by international refs as well as the local domestic ones, as well as amateur referees. What makes a good referee to a player?
I like referees that are stern, but they can talk to you at the same time. And there's some that try and talk to you like a school teacher, like you're a 10-year-old kid. And there's some that are just can be a little bit arrogant, but the ones that can talk to you, and that's the ones you think, even if they've made a bad call, they're approachable. Phil Bentham sometimes don't get all the calls right, but because I know he's a decent guy and you can talk to him, he doesn't talk to you like an idiot, then I'll say, all right, sweet, you got it wrong, but no worries, no dramas. And I prefer them ones.
I used to wait. You'll be ref by him, what,
Carl Fitzpatrick.
He used to come running on with fake tan and little shorts. And he once said something. I think we're playing England versus Australia under 18s. And I just, like Leon says, you know, I never came across aggressive. You know, my dad taught me, you always call him sir. I asked him a question. He said something like, I've reffed bigger games and better teams and better players than you, or something along them lines. And from that moment on,
you're done.
I had one running battle. Now, when I was younger, when I played at Bulls, it was Steve Ganson. We used to have battles, man. I'm telling you. I'm not going to say much on air because I might get myself in trouble, but we had battles.
Isn't it interesting how referees have their own personalities? And I think sometimes that was where the lines used to get blurred. The personalities, it used to annoy me when the personalities become too much part of the game. Carl Fitzpatrick was one of them.
Well, do you remember the time when I first came through? they stopped calling you by your nickname. Because on Sky, originally, when I first came through, they used to say, like, Andy Farrell or Faz, or it were Robbo, or it were, you know, it were like, the RFL deemed it were too personable, you know, you were showing favour.
It was a wrong thing.
You know, because basically a young kid then comes in and you call him by his full name, as opposed to, hey, Faz, get onside, or whatever, you know, Luke Robbins, get onside. It didn't sit well with them, so they changed that. But I'm with Leon, mate. I think the best referees, the ones that you can talk to, you know, the ones that you can have a bit of a dialogue with without it. You know, they're stern, but, and the decisions, whatever they make, that goes, that's fair enough. But they can actually explain to you sometimes why they're making that decision.
I got to admit, I captained the Bradford Bulls for such a long amount of years, the type of referee that I like to engage with was someone that would actually speak to you. I really used to get on my nerves that sometimes referees, I don't know what was going on in their home lives, but they just shut you out. And because I like to talk to people, as I'm with Leon, you get the call wrong and you accept it, you put your hand up. I used to like to go up to them and say, you owe us one, don't you? Just a little wink in there. You owe us one here. And, you know, sometimes they give it back to you as well.
Most of the times they don't, though. Most of the times they don't.
They balance that. But that was back in the good old days. Let's have a look forward to the biggest matches of the championship coming up first before we get to the Super League games. Probably of the round, you're probably looking at Bulls travelling to Dewsbury, Bulls having to get back into some form, and also London playing host to Batley. That's second place plays third place. Two good games there in the championship.
Robbie, let's be honest now. You're a Bradford Bulls man, as I am an ex-Bradford Bulls man, and I still live in Bradford. But come on, Robbie, you're under pressure. We need to win this game.
Got to win this game.
The Bulls need to win this game, don't they?
Got to get back on the. Got to get back in the right direction, don't we?
Come on, Bulls. We need to win this game.
I don't think anyone's denying that.
Oh, I can't imagine
finding that form.
I've been coached by Jimmy. I cannot imagine him being happy. You know, he's not the happiest when he's in a happy mood.
That's true.
Oh, I bet there's some frightened Bradford lads turn up for training.
I bet his wife's frightened. No, my lads. My wife and kids are not when he gets there.
Well, that's probably what Julie's doing to Jimmy. And, that's what put him in that bad mood. Yeah. So, what do you reckon? Bulls win at Dewsbury? Dewsbury win against the Bulls?
We're at the Challenge Cup. That's where they lost, didn't they? Yes. It's an old score. Yeah. I think they're going to go there, Bulls, and especially with that in the back of the mind, I think Bulls are going to win.
London hosting Batley. So, Batley will be travelling down to London. Batley sitting in second.
And Batley lost last week, didn't they? Yep. Who did they lose to?
Oh, I'm not sure.
But, I'm going to go Batley this week. But London are going good, aren't they? But London are having a really good season so far.
No, Batley had actually had a tight win over Whitehaven.
They?
Yeah, 24 points
right,
to 23.
Okay. Sorry,
so that's a close one for them.
I'll go London with it being at London.
Okay. With it being at London, yeah. A tough game, both two teams. Some top Super League action this weekend. Holkar will be hosting Catalans. Catalans needing to continue that away form that they started early in the season.
Well, listen, we've said from the start of the season, before the season even started, Catalans team is basically an NRL team, so the form that they're finding at the moment, they're really coming into good form. I'm going Catalans.
Okay, I beat Leeds last week, though, quickly.
Catalans.
Okay, Leon, your team at home to Robbo's Huddersfield?
All FC.
Why?
Why do you think I play for him? Can't say Huddersfield, can I? Live on air.
Exactly. I'll do the exact same as Leon Huddersfield because I play. Well, I used to play for him.
You don't play for them anymore, you can be honest.
No, I still work for him.
And the last one, game of the round, I reckon, Warrington hosting St Helens.
Warrington.
Yeah, Warrington. Don't think Sands have been great this year. I think Warrington have been really good.
No Sandow, though, and Warrington got to prove it. Oh, well, we're going with Warrington, aren't we?
Yeah, Warrington.
All right, my thanks to you, boys. As always, big thanks to wherever you are listening tonight. Total Access next here on Pulse One. Enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. Wednesday evening from 6:00.